Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April the 27th, 2014, and you're tuned to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And I'm glad that you're here today, because on my show I have two lovely guests. One is Chris Kanik. He is the co-founder of New Hope Film Festival. I know a lot of us, sometimes we don't hear about these things, they don't promote them enough, but he's here to give us insight into it, tell us all about himself and more. And also I have Dr. Beth Janiris coming on. She is the author of Turning Me to We, where we feel that sometimes we want to think about ourselves, but it's not always about us, okay? I bet you think this song is all about you, and it's not. But anyhow, while we're waiting on Chris to call in, I am going to hit you with the tune at the moment. So let's just sit back, relax, and chill.
Yo, VIP. And listen, Ice is back with my brand new invention. Listen. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance, crush the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Deadly,
when I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit fools out of kids, don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. I'm on a roll, it's time to go solo.
Rollin',
hit my 5.0. Put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi.
Did you stop?
No, I just drove by, kept on pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A.
Detroit Avenue.
Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men love us, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the nine.
Ready
for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of eight balls. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells.
Falling
on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked.
Police on the scene,
you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all, I don't mean. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook where my DJ revolves it. DJ revolves it. Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother.
Life, baby, go. Life, baby, go.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I do apologize. I don't know what happened to Chris. Maybe something came up. And this is the thing that we have to deal with when you're doing an actual radio show, that people have things that come up for emergency. I have had guests who have had to deal with their children in another country. One lady, she had to go pick up her daughter because she got sick. So things of this sort happens. It's not that they don't want to come on or that they forgot. Most of the time, emergency just happens, and particularly it happens on the day of the show. So I do apologize. I won't try to bore you as much. My next guest should be on at 1 o'clock. So we'll just listen to some tunes. I'll be in and out with some news info. So we just going to do it like this and keep it running smoothly. That's all I can give you at the moment. And if you want anything more, please don't be afraid. Hit me up on chat line. I'm on now. You can hit me up on Facebook. I'm listening to your request. So please make sure that you do that for me, because I want to make sure that we run this thing together smoothly. It's you and I.
Just tell.
Let me taste it. Hop on it, I'ma give you a ride.
bust your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Back a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass pimp be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp speed. On a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since Honey was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me. Diamond shining, looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good. Your city is the bomb if your city making pain. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California, yeah.
Slime, bubble with it. slime chest with it. Cajonas and fitness off everyone's shit.
I'm stoner, I'm stoner, I'm stoner. I'm stoner, I'm stoner, I'm stoner. I'm stoner, I'm stoner, I'm stoner. I'm motherfucker. I just put a 40 on my wrist, just like a bus. I just put 10,000 on my bitch, just like a bus.
Run it, run it up, like you about to start trap. When you beat the case, turn it to a stoner trap. We don't stand in line, borrow shoes, hurt your feet. Everybody stone, we lose more.
Every time I walk inside that club, I see everybody looking. You know I'm a stoner, I love juice, and I can't love be tookin'. And you can't suck my banana, but I won't eat your pudding. So come on, look close, so mama won't know you.
Handle it, handle it, handle it. How the fuck them things on the vibe when I want to say a runway? My glass is a mess from the blood off your chest. And I control your hoops like net and flat. Yo, bitch in my dinner, she wet like a fish. I took off her black T-shirt.
I'm stoner, I'm stoner, I'm stoner. I'm stoner, I'm stoner, I'm stoner. I'm stoner, I'm stoner, I'm stoner. I'm a fuck. I just put a 40 on my wrist just like a bus. I just put 10,000 on my bitch just like a bus. I just ain't with what you said, just like a bus. Just like a bus. Just like a bus. I feel like Fable, I feel like Fable, I feel like Fable, I feel like Fable,
I feel like Fable, I feel like Fable, I feel just like.
Couple just got the amazing news of their life. You know, most babies, we say about 9 pounds at the most, but impressively, on April the 22nd, this baby weighed in an impressive 14 pounds and 5 ounces, and the mom says it was been vindicated after she was often stopped by strangers asking if she was expecting twins. And her first baby was 10 pounds, so they were expecting another big one, just not this big. Everyone in the operating room was like, oh, my God, she said. Adding all that matters is that she's healthy, and the baby name is Carissa, and she's the largest baby born at Mass General in over a decade. That is very awesome. That's, woo. And I can't even imagine something like that coming up out of me. I had twin girls, but, my God, it was 3 pounds and 9 ounces. I can't imagine going any larger than that. Wow. My congrats to you, mom, out there. 14 pounds, you outdo all of us. Congratulations to you.
Holy shoot.
All this money on me, and I can't take it from a G. All she trying to do is get naked, naked, naked. No. And she gon' shake it like a red nose. Like a red nose. And she gon' shake it like a red nose.
Like a red nose.
That girl, 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 that gir Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Boys. Yeah.
In your daily life, ones that make you smile, ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts, brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. My love is blind, can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
that's the way love.
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 That's the way love goes.
Yo, baby, you ready to let the game begin? Huh?
Oh, baby.
Cause I'm ready.
Hey, yeah.
Get set. Here we go.
Girl, I hope you to stay, so we can play this little game we play. You go hide and I will sleep. Let me be the one to make.
Thinking about you every day, got me feeling kinda freaky. Girl, why you wanna leave me that way?
Boy, I don't wanna leave you, so I'll stay for a little while. But we play by my rules, cause me and
make me a reference, make me a
The thing I remember is grinding on that wood, grinding, grinding on that wood. I'm swerving on that, swerving, swerving on that. Big body been serving all this, swerve, surfing all in this good, good.
George Clooney fans out there, he is engaged now, and a reliable source close to the couple confirms the news to Entertainment, to ET. Any words for the happy couple, you could call in and give a shout-out for the happy couple, or you could either chat with me online or my Facebook fan page. This is some exciting news. I'm glad for you, George Clooney. I tell you, no matter how old you get, it's always room for love. In 10 more minutes, we'll have Dr. Beth Generis calling in very soon. So make sure you keep your internet open.
First, I'm the realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right.
You should want a bad bitch like this.
Huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
Back. On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight. Never chase that.
Never.
Stop like we bringing 88 back.
What?
Bring the hooks in where the bass at. Champagne feeling, you should taste that. You knew that I'd be the I-G-G-Y. Put my name in ball. I've been working, I'm up in here with some change to throw.
I'm so fancy.
Look at it, I bet you wishing you could clutch that. That's just the way you like it, huh? It's so good, he just wishing he could bite it, huh? Never turn down nothing, plainly, so go trigger on a gun like
I'm so fancy.
Who that?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Who that?
cops to all my dogs. You thought my heart would be destroyed. Look around cause I'm chillin', boy. What you goin' get your lawyers for? I makes my dough in just one show, you know. Your lawyer shoulda let you know when you sue me, you gon' be broke, you know. Ain't no way that you can bring me down easy. Any chick that you stick is real season. Before I need you, I bet you don't need me. You ain't want me anyway, you wanted to be me. What made you think I keep you round? Well, I work my ass off and you just lounge, huh? You slump, bump, son of a gun. And how much you worth? I think negative done.
Stop shooting at the breaking heart. Baby, keep low, sex pistol. Father and everything that walks. No substance, just small talk. But while you're killing all the girls behind, you got a CC, one track mind. What can you work until you think you'll find? Who's going on with you tonight?
Oh, oh, you gonna give it to me, you gonna do it from religion.
That's right, like
I'm playing that song for all of you out here who think the song is especially about you. Because today, as I said, we have the best scenario. He is the author of the book called Turning Me to We. The Art of Partnering with Mindfulness. For all the ones out there who just been saying, I, and me, you cannot have that today. But that's why I was saying a little bit of dance back. So, Dr. Belt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad that you made it on the show. I didn't get my other guests. Something came up, so I said, well, there's no point in me counseling now. I had to keep going.
You're amazing. Look at you. Nice.
Oh, well, thank you. And then my other guest called me. It was a dear friend of mine. He called me. He said, well, I won't be able to do it today, too. So that's why I was explaining to the listeners. I said, things happen, and apparently sometimes you don't want to, but it goes that way.
We just have to roll. Just be open,
yeah, you just
right?
You just have to keep rolling with the punches. So,
absolutely.
As I said, it's good that you're on the show today. And, of course, I was playing a little bit of Janet Jackson for the people about her song, Son of a Gun. But in the verse, she also says, I bet you think this song is all about you. And I kind of related to your book, Turning Me to We, The Art of Partnering with Mindfulness, because a lot of people always think it's about them. When they tell their problems, they still consider themselves, and they don't never want to look at the other side of the picture. They'll put the blame on someone else instead of themselves. So, shall we get started? What do you mean by turning me to we?
You know, that is so great. And I think the way you just set it up is exactly right. What happens is that we don't look at ourselves when we need to be looking at ourselves, and we only look at ourselves when we need to be looking at the other person. We have it almost exactly wrong, you know, when we're doing relationship. And part of it is that we get a little defensive in relationships sometimes. Maybe we've had some experiences that really hurt us, and so we're going to cut things off straight away, or we're going to treat the other person in a single, one-dimensional fashion. And so turning me to we is helping people understand just what is underneath how we choose to partner, who we choose to partner with, what it's supposed to look like, where that comes from, and moving from being in a dependent-style relationship through an independent style relationship into an interdependent style relationship. So we're really shifting through different ways of interacting.
Right. And that becomes a problem, especially when you're in relationships and we don't consider the other person. We think our problems is more important, and that's not a good thing.
Right. That's exactly right. So in all relationships, we want to have We want to be important. Each of us individually wants to be important. The other person needs to be important. And then the relationship itself needs to be important. And so it's this very flexible flux back and forth. And sometimes when we're feeling really hurt, or if we interpret the other person is trying to hurt us, then we get very resistant in relationship, right? And so the idea behind this book is to help people understand how they're choosing to relate with people and what they can do differently to have more fulfilling relationships.
Okay. Now, that sounds like a winner. So what exactly is mindfulness, and how does it assist in creating successful relationships?
Yeah, so mindfulness, you know, mindfulness is just seeing the other person's point of view, which is what you brought up earlier. It really is this idea of understanding how to see things, how to look at things. And I talk about something called paradigm shifting. So a paradigm is a way in which we see the world. And if you're looking at a picture that's like a figure ground picture. So in the center of the picture, maybe there's a vase. And then on either side, there's two profiles that make the vase. So the ground are the two profiles, and the center is the vase. Well, people who only see that vase see that paradigm. People who only see the two profiles see that paradigm. And in relationship, if we want to be mindful, we want to consider the other person's perspective. And then we try to have a conversation about where we agree in those two perspectives.
Well, can it be harmful at times?
Say it again, I'm sorry?
I was wondering, being mindful, can it be harmful in a relationship at times?
So if we can, the problem with mindfulness, when it could be harmful, and I'm not exactly sure if it's specific to mindfulness being harmful, but it's more about when we keep looking at the other person's perspective and we aren't standing up for ourselves. Like we hear the other person and we just agree with them instead of saying, well, I hear your perspective and I understand where you're coming from, but what you're doing is harming me, right? So occasionally what will happen is we're taking on the other person and we're forgetting about the importance of our own ideas. Then that doesn't work very well.
Okay. And I guess it works in all parts of relationship, whether you're single, married, divorced, or widow, because you're still in a relationship, even if it's with yourself.
Right. You're negotiating the best path to get everyone's needs met, right? And so the idea is to use these techniques to help you be powerful and empowered, have a mutual relationship with other people. So they're needs are also empowered.
Right, and that's right. And then when you're being mindful, you have to just focus on that person's communication with you, and you got to respect the other person's point of view, regardless if you like it or not. And that's what a lot of people tend to forget. They want to be about their own perspective, and it doesn't work like that. One thing about it, you know your perspective. You know what you're going to agree on, but you got to give somebody else a chance to experience that too without judging it.
You're absolutely right. And if we can if we can stand away from being right and wrong, right? So I just said right, how funny. So I have a perspective and I think it's correct. And then my partner has a perspective and that person thinks it's correct. The idea is to say, okay, I get what you're saying and it's not going to work for me, so we can't stay together, as opposed to you're just wrong. Maybe not. Maybe that person's not wrong, but it won't work for you. So you can sometimes choose to not continue to partner when you're using mindfulness because you say, oh, I can see that this is always going to be a conflict for us. We just can't solve this problem. We need to not be together.
Right, and people have to understand that. But you're right, it's important to look at your own personal development first. Why is this?
Oh, okay, great question. So the reason that's important is that I talk about how we have an internal map, like an internal picture about what relationship is supposed to look like, a good relationship or a normal relationship is supposed to look like. And that map comes from our temperament, how we were raised, what groups we belong to, like our religious groups, our socioeconomic groups, our political groups, our heritage, groups of heritage, like whether or not we come from certain races or certain cultures, because there's a way in which people relate, and we learn that from our sociological upbringing. In addition, what affects how we decide relationship is supposed to work is what I call our biography, the experiences that we go through as we're developing. And so when you see that you're in the same kind of a pattern where it feels like we start out well, the relationship's going well, and then all of a sudden the person starts to take advantage of you, and then you have to end the relationship because it's not fair, you can go back to your earlier development and see where you may have gone awry in how things happened. And as a result, determine what you're doing that may be creating problems in that relationship. And so it shifts how you see relationship. It'll change your map.
Okay. A lot of people don't see it that way, though. They don't want...
No.
They don't. They don't want to take the blame for it. It's got to be somebody else to take that. So how do we get them out of that space?
So the first way to help people get out of that space is to, first of all, say to them, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. The way you see it is totally okay. It makes a lot of sense. I understand why you see it that way, right? And then we can say, now there's another way to see it. And then give them the opportunity to see if they want to change sort of volitionally. Like, I maybe want to change my ideas here, because it's our own decision whether we want to shift out of being in more of a me-style relationship into a we-style relationship. Me-style relationships are based on the fact that we've been hurt, and we want to protect ourselves from being hurt again. And that's when we become a little bit defensive and unwilling to take any responsibility for what may be going wrong in the relationship. Right?
Right, I do agree with that, Beth. Now, how do people become locked into ineffective thought and communication patterns?
Part of the way that we get caught up in these communication styles that don't work very well is that we have a tendency to be always on the sending, right? So in communication, you send information and then you receive information, right? So
wow.
As we're communicating, we're just sending information. And we've seen this before. I know you've seen it. I've seen it, where we're talking with somebody, and as we're talking, we can see that they're already creating an answer to what we're saying, right? They're not receiving the full information. They've already moved on to creating their argument back, right?
Wow.
That's not very effective in communication. So you want to completely receive what the other person wants to say. Then you can reflect back. Well, here's what I hear you saying. And then if we disagree, we can say, okay, so from my perspective, I interpret that word this way, or, you know, whatever it might be, so that we start to have more full communication. So I'm going to send the information. The other person's going to receive the information. The other person's going to say, well, here's what I think. Then they're going to send information. So we're doing a full course. And one of the important components, as you heard me saying, is we start to understand that we have different meanings for different words. It's not like everybody agrees what certain words mean. And people then get triggered by some of these words that are used, and then they get really reactive because they have to protect themselves based on their understanding of the word. Like,
okay.
My example of that is a word like, belie. So if you use the word belie, it means to lie. Like, that belies blah, blah, blah. Well, that means you're lying. But it also could mean something like the way in which you're saying something doesn't support, it's not consistent with the thing you said before, which is not calling a person a liar, but just showing an inconsistency. And so if you're speaking to someone and you only know that interpretation that it means to lie, you think that person's calling you a liar. You're not going to want to continue to talk to them. That hurts your feelings, right?
Right. But now...
So that's a... Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, in most relationships we have, you know, couples, we have a communication problem most of the times, but is there a little bit of difference between complaining versus maybe criticizing when it comes down to that? since that's part of communication.
Absolutely, absolutely, totally.
Because they always said that it's, well, complaining is sometimes good for the relationship because you're learning, you're getting the feedback out, and the partner can understand where you're coming from. They can understand there needs to be a change in relationship. Unlike criticism, rather than focusing on a behavior, you like to see changed. Criticisms are really directed at your partner.
Right. There's a personal component to it that's very hurtful to the relationship. Telling someone they're a bad person or, you know, I don't like you or I don't like what you're doing. To say, this hurts me, this behavior, and I want you to change it because it's harmful to our relationship is one thing. But to really criticize a person directly, like you're stupid, whatever, that's hurtful to the relationship, and it really impedes progress in the relationship.
Yeah, because sometimes I can be very forceful, too, sometimes towards my husband. I have to be careful, and I do try to focus on that I need to just focus on change instead of just verbally attacking him all the time, like, oh, okay, you didn't do this right. I feel you're lazy, and it can hurt. It really can while you're really thinking about it.
Well, but the other thing is sometimes complaining is really useful to say, you know, I'm tired, I work all day, then I come home and I got to make the dinner, and I feel like I need help from you. So that's not a mean thing. It's saying, look, I think there's a lack of equity in how we are relating to each other. So can you, on these days when I work really long, can't you do the laundry, or can't you start pick up the kids, or can't you start dinner, whatever it is. Now, that's useful in relationships.
Yeah, that sounds better than instead of saying, come home, oh, you're just lazy. You did nothing all day. I like that versus you're lazy, calling people out their names. So that doesn't work. That just really tears now. Yeah.
And if sometimes we don't realize that we're name-calling, do you know what I mean? We really are thinking, you are lazy, but it helps us if we say, okay, so what do we want to have happen differently? So maybe we feel inside ourselves, you're lazy, but what we say is, I'm feeling like I'm doing a lot of work, and it doesn't look like you pick up the slack. So how can we negotiate this differently, right? So you can see, I mean, we still think what we think, but we communicate about it in a really different way.
Right. I do understand that. Now, you recommend bringing awareness of changes that really goes with certain words or phrases. Now, why is this important?
Well, so let me just, I wanted to say one more thing about what we were just talking about. Do you mind if I say one more thing about it? So what I noticed is that if you are working together on a problem, you and your partner, then you feel like you have a collaboration. But when you're working, there's a problem, and we're saying you're the problem, or the other person is saying that we're the problem, then we're opposite each other, right? Then we're fighting each other. But if you figure out a way to align with each other, so we were talking about, oh, you're tired, or you're lazy, right? If we figure out, oh, I'm overworked, and you seem to have a lot of time, and there are all these things that need to be done, how can you and I come up with a plan that solves this problem? And the problem is there are too many things to get done, and I'm doing too many of them. You see what I'm saying? Now you're working together against the problem, and that helps the relationship get stronger instead of working against each other. Does that make more sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense. I'm following you, Belle.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, I thought that might be helpful for the listeners to understand how I'm talking about us working together, right? And it's kind of a visual. Like, I like to have people think of moving next to each other and they're working against the problem rather than they're seeing each other as the problem. I think that helps a lot, you know?
Yeah, turn the negative into positive. I like it.
Yeah. Because the more we can do that, the more we see we're on each other's side. Because that's the whole reason you choose a partnership, is we're supposed to be helping each other move through life together. And then when all of a sudden our life is more difficult because of that partnership, that doesn't work at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do agree with that.
Yeah. So, no, I'm sorry. Do you mind asking me that question that you were asking when I went back in time there? What was the question you had for me?
I don't mind at all. I was asking you, you were mentioned it, you recommend bringing new, you recommend bringing awareness of changes that arise with certain words or phrases. Why is this important?
Okay, so what happens is that sometimes we get triggered by a way in which somebody says something, right? So a word that they use or a phrase that they use that we get triggered by. So let's use what we were talking about before, the lazy thing, right? When somebody hears you're being lazy, all of a sudden now they're in a big fight with you, right? They don't care what you're talking about. They don't care if you're right. They don't care because you just called them lazy, and now they're reacting to that word. So sometimes I think if we bring awareness to how we're triggering people with words or phrases, that helps us a lot. So I ask people to think, so what did you hear me say? So let's say you and I are talking and we're having a fine conversation. We're not upset with each other. And then I say something and you all of a sudden get really mad at me. Well, then I would say, what did you hear me say? You know, what did you hear me say? And then they'll say, you might say to me, well, when you use that word, you're telling me I'm a bad person. Well, I don't need to hear I'm a bad person. I'm helping you, right? And so by asking that question, what did you hear me say, or what word did I use that really upset you, we start to understand how we trigger other people into conflict when we don't intend to, right?
Right.
I know with my relationship, I would point out things that my husband was doing, and then he would say, I'm being very critical. And I would say, I'm trying to help you. I see that you do this, and then you don't pay attention to what's going on, and then all of a sudden you're in trouble. And so I'm trying to help you. I know it feels like I'm being critical, but I'm actually doing it as a desire to assist you, right? So then he and I would have to figure out, well, how can I say it that he doesn't interpret that I'm picking on him, right? So that's the way in which I was thinking about it.
Okay. It still makes perfect sense, and it just falls right on into the, like we said before, you just turn the negative into positive, and that's what it's all about. We can't always, that negativity, it builds so much stress up on you when you got so much on your chest. I was talking about that yesterday. One of my one of the guests at work, I was telling him, I don't like all that negative vibe, because it felt like everybody who was coming there had a negative attitude, and it was like, no, this is not the way it should be done at all. So, Beth, in what ways can we begin shifting our perspective to enhance communication?
So, first thing is that if indeed, I like to say to people, you got to figure out when you have an intuitive hit about something that is dangerous or that is good, like pay attention to what I call your internal sensory guidance system. Now, what is that? Well, that's like your five senses plus your intuition. So your five senses are smell, taste, what things look like, right, what things sound like. So when you are in a situation and something doesn't feel right, right, like the hair goes up on the back of your neck, or that, you know, we say this in conversation, something he said didn't ring true. All of those are paying attention to that internal sensory guidance system. We can even feel weird in certain situations. So if you pay attention to that, it really, really helps you in how you are communicating to the other person. Like, do you understand what I'm saying about those senses?
Yes.
Okay, so what then I do is I say to people, if you develop that internal sensory guidance system, then you're more able to see when you're in danger. Is it really dangerous, or is it just something that reminds you of a historical situation? Like, let's say when you were in your first relationship, somebody was abusive, and now this is like your 10th relationship, and the person raises their voice. You might feel like, oh, I'm in danger. I need to react to that because you have this history of a person who's been abusive. Then what I say is now you have to look at that person. This is where the mindfulness comes in. You have to say, well, actually, they're just raising their voice because they're tired or they're frustrated, but they're not really dangerous. They've never abused me. It's not in their nature to abuse me. So I'm looking at, let's say his name is, I'm seeing I see that this is John, that's who you're in relationship with, not whoever it was that was abusive to me earlier in my life. So you have to really focus in. If indeed the situation is dangerous, I always say then you need to get out. But if it isn't dangerous, you have to kind of reorient yourself to the fact that that's just a trigger back to these earlier troubles. Does that make sense?
It does, and it reminds me of what my other guest was saying. I was telling her of a situation of my childhood, and I was always told I was beautiful, but it was more in a harmful way. And he was telling me that that will always be with you. If another person tells you you're beautiful, you're always going to associate it with that situation. Like, you're not saying I'm beautiful in a good way. You're being harmful to me, and it starts bringing that inner child out of you, because that's what we all have in us, the inner child that we've been talking to. When people tell us, oh, who are you talking to? You're really talking to the inner child in you. That's the person who tells you if you're doing something wrong or you're doing something right.
Right. Exactly. So that's exactly what I'm talking about here. And that is very important in relationship. You have to know, is this, how do I ignore that part where I can hear I'm beautiful, and I don't have to hear it negative. You know, I can hear it like in a positive way. How do you shift out of that old way of hearing it?
Right. It's so true. Now, how can we implement it into our life, maybe at work or anywhere that we are in life?
Okay, so first we're going to start with relationships where we can really feel safe to kind of implement these things, right? So you might not start with your boss, because at first you have to have some practice at interacting with people in this mindful way. You start with somebody that you trust, that you are, you know, I'm going to start practicing a new way of communicating with you. I'm really trying to change some of these things. So you might start with some good friends, maybe some family members that you can really trust, or your partner. And then once you have a handle on that, you would start to set some limits at work. Like, if you feel like people are giving you too much work, right, and they're being unfair, you might say, okay, so these are the five things I'm working on, and then your boss gives you one more thing to work on. Right now you're overwhelmed. You might say, okay, so if I put this to the top, what of these other five things that you also want me to complete do I move off? Because I can only work on so much at a time. So you start to have these fuller conversations with the people with whom you work too, right? So they have to take some responsibility.
Yes.
You can't give me 25 things to do if I only have time to do three, right?
Exactly, and that's how I feel sometimes. I feel like I'd be pressured at work. Like, I have to be the leader of the pack, and it's like it's other people around here who could do the exact same thing if you just give them the opportunity and you want me to do this and do that, and it's like, no, I can't do all this. You're out of your mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
you can't just say, oh, I can't do it. If you give it back to them and you have to say, all right, so what are you suggesting I do? Do you know what I mean? That makes it so that now they have to take some responsibility for the fact that they're giving you too much to do.
Okay. Well, that made better sense. Instead of getting frustrated, because I will get frustrated and I'll be like, look, I'm not doing all this by myself. So I would just start trying to retract it back to him then from now on. Okay, what else would you consider me to do to get this accomplished, to get this goal done, because it's not going to work. We have to get other people involved as well.
Right, absolutely. So important.
It is. So, Delph, what is actually meant by interdependent relations, and how does it shift interactions?
Okay, so when you think about how our first style of relationship is a dependent style of relationship, because we're children, we depend on our parents to take care of us, and we're learning how to be in the world. And when we first learn about relationship, that's what we learn. We depend on others to take care of us, and we really need them. It's very symbiotic. We need them to take care of us, okay? Now, as we move into adolescence, we move into what I call an independent style of relationship. We're starting to develop boundaries. We don't need people to take care of us. We're starting to learn how to take care of ourselves, but we're not ready to take care of anyone else. We're just independent. When you move into an interdependent style of relationship, there's an ebb and a flow between. So I can take care of you and you can take care of me, and we move back and forth. When I first started to look at this in relationships, because adults have dependent style relationships and adults have independent style relationships and adults have interdependent. And so what I noticed is people who have a dependent style relationship, sometimes we call it a codependent style relationship, people in those relationships, they're me. They have trouble saying no. They really will take too much on. They can't stop. And pretty soon, they're completely overwhelmed. And they have a lot of fear. They're very insecure. They're afraid maybe the person's going to leave them, so they have to do all this stuff. And also, they have trouble saying, I can't do it. Like, they have trouble saying no. That's a dependent. An independent style relationship, and you can think about adolescents, right? They have trouble saying yes. In other words, they're not going to help you. They're only going to take care of themselves. Well, I worked all day. I'm going to rest. You're like, but don't you see there's laundry everywhere to do? It's not my job. That's your job. You know, that's an issue of not being able to say yes. So they don't really have, they can't see what it must be like for the other person. Their empathy is not really strong. And they're really afraid that as soon as they start to help the other person, if they really were to do that, the person would just take them over, start telling them what to do. So that's more of an independent style relationship. But an interdependent style relationship is a relationship where they have good empathy, they can see the other person's point of view, they have good security, they know what they can do and what they can't do. So I say they have an easy time saying yes or no, depending on the situation. Well, I see I'm home from work and there's stuff to be done and my partner isn't here. I can pick up the slack because I have some energy. My partner's not going to come home until much later. I should help, right? So it's this interdependent, right? Back and forth, flexible boundaries.
Exactly. And I guess I would have to say I should be lucky because my husband will consider me instead of himself at times. And that's what interdependent relationships is all about. You got to do best for both partners. If he sees I'm tired, he'll end up fixing the food or something. And we try to rely on each other as much as possible. It's not just about me or him. And sometimes if I feel like I get in that point where I am getting to myself, then I have to step out, like, okay, step back, take a breath. Okay, let's rewind this over again and have to consider him. Because I sometimes get selfish, but you know, sometimes, Beth, I don't think we can really skip that independent stage. It's a necessity. We have to have that part just to get to
You're
the
point. You're so right. You are so smart. That is precisely correct. We have to move from dependent through independent. If we try to skip it, we won't make it. Then we get to the interdependent. You're so smart. That's precisely right.
But is it about choice? Because no one really chooses to remain dependent all their life, but I feel everyone wants to get enough love and attention to outgrow that dependency.
That is exactly the right way to think about it, and that's a super compassionate way to think about it. It's not like people are intending to be needy. It's that they feel like they have to be the way they are, and once mm-hmm. they solve that problem, once they can feel stronger, they're okay. And I don't know if you got to see this in the book, but I talk about something called MAP. So remember earlier I said that we have an inner map? Well, there's this thing I talk about called MAP, and it references these insecurity drivers, which cause us to get stuck in the me style, the dependent style, or the independent style, or the I style relationship. And those have to do with money, achievement, attachment, power, and structure. And you're right, attachment is one of the biggest ones, that if you just don't get enough love and care, you get stuck in that dependent style. You don't mean to. You don't want to, but that's where you are.
But some people seem, apparently to me, they get stuck in the independent lifestyle too, but some choose to remain that way. But, I mean, I have seen people or even heard people say that they are happy. They'd be past the age of 35 and 40, and they're still not with anyone or married. They just choose to be on their own.
And I think those individuals have some sort of insecurity driver. So either they're afraid that somebody's going to take something from them if they do an interdependent relationship, or they feel like they won't have control over their life, or, you know, there's usually an underlying reason that they may be saying, I'm choosing to be here, but it's also that they're a little bit afraid to be in a different style of relationship. Very interesting.
Oh, it is. But, hey, everybody chooses their own. Some won't love, and some just love themselves. So, hey, all my independent people, more power to you.
That's right.
So what we're going to end up doing, we're going to come back with Belle on the line, because this is very interesting. Like I said, if you're out there thinking about yourself, it's not always about you. You have to include we, especially if you're in a relationship. It's all about you. It's about us now, not about you anymore. So we're going to take that commercial break, and we'll be right back after this.
There's only one station that will keep you happy, Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Hey, Billy, want to go to the State Fair?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. Well, you see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it. But now your parents are becoming energy efficient. They could save hundreds of dollars a year and take you to the fair next year.
I want to go now.
Oh, I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
All right, well, we're back with Dr. Belle Janiris, the author of Turning Me to We, The Art of Partnering with Mindfulness. And we're talking about just basically getting out the picture that it has to be all about yourself, especially if you're in a relationship. The I becomes to we, and that's a problem for some, but Dr. Belle is here to tell you the ways to really get out of that, as we explained earlier. You got to shift your whole perspective to enhance the communication. So we're getting into this, and it's really good that you're on this show, because, Belt, a lot of people have that issue, and they don't care. I have a coworker on my job who she still likes to think of herself as, I guess we could say, single. And that becomes a problem, because you're not single anymore when you're in a relationship. You're married, and it's not about you. Of course, being single seems apparently to be the good life, but that you lose when you're in a relationship.
Exactly. So part of it is to figure out how you, the person that you choose to be with, but the things that you really like in terms of your individuality, being single, you can keep. And then the things that are not, that don't work in relationship about being single, then you have to find that you're getting more out of being in the relationship than having those other things, right? So it's all, that's that mindfulness again. You're kind of evaluating. You can even think of it as a cost-benefit rate. You know, you look at what are the costs of being in a relationship and what are the benefits of being in a relationship, and is it worth it to give up some of those things, or how do you work it out, right? And so it's all about negotiating and discussing things in a really mindful way.
Right. I agree. I do. I agree with that. And that's things that people have to understand. You can't go back. Yeah, and you do have to think about it. Before you even get in a relationship, you have to think about it, because we had four different couples come in yesterday, because I work for the Marriott, and they were all married now. And I told them, I said, well, it's time to put up a lot of things now that you're married. And they was looking at me funny, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, once you're married, that's it. You have to really think about it. It's no more going out, hanging out with the girls, or sometimes hanging out with the boys 24/7. You have to really think about it. So make sure, people out there, before you get married, it's a lot of things that have to change. And I know that we fail to do that, but that's the way it is. Anyhow.
One of the things I talk with people about with that is, you know, what are what I call the have-to-haves in relationship. So you kind of sit down and you say, what would I like in my partner? What are the things that are have-to-have? Maybe we have to agree on money. Maybe we have to make sure that, you know, they tell the truth. Maybe we have to, you know, it's really important that they don't have relationships outside the marriage. Whatever it is, you come up with your things that are have-to-haves. They like to travel, they're homebody, whatever it is. And then when you're choosing to marry, you make sure that you match each other on those things. So you'll have much less conflict. Do you want to have children? Do you not want to have children? How do you save money? All of those things are very important to be thinking about when you're building marriage relationships.
Why? And it's good to always discuss your expectations for marriage and each other, like identifying your roles and responsibilities. How will you solve a conflict when it comes about? And what are the goals in it? You got to be proactive. You got to know how to solve problems immediately and don't let the misunderstandings turn into a large conflict. So there are things that you have to really know before you go into a marriage. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, it's just a dress ring. The wedding is just a day, but that marriage is a lifetime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really important to do that.
It is. So, Delta, what are the core security drives, and how do they affect our relationship?
So we have these five security or insecurity drivers, and they have to do with money, achievement, attachment, power, and security. So if people have an insecurity about money, they might get stuck in the independent style of relationship because they can't share their money. They, you know, it's my money, I'm not sharing it, you can't have it, I have to save all my money, whatever it is. They may have some level of insecurity about it, so it affects their capacity to really move into an interdependent we-style relationship. With achievement, people tend to be very competitive if that's their insecurity driver. They're very competitive. They don't share credit for things. They can't share how you create something. I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting with someone and you had told them before the meeting, hey, I have this idea, and then you go into the meeting and they say, oh, hey, I have this idea before, and they don't even give you credit. They don't say it was so-and-so's idea. You know what I mean? That is a huge issue. That's an achievement competitive issue. And then attachment, we had talked about it earlier. That's where people really are very needy. And people who have that particular issue tend to get stuck in dependent style relationships. They really, you know, they get very nervous if you don't return their call really quickly. They need lots of attention. They're very insecure. Maybe even narcissistic. And so that's an insecurity driver. And then power, sometimes power, especially if it's in the independent style, it has to do with people who just are not going to ever allow someone to have power over them. So it's not so much that they have to have power over you, but they don't want anyone to have power over them. So that's an insecurity driver. And then structure, I don't know if you've ever met this, but people, they have to have things done in a very specific way, or they get really upset, they get really insecure or anxious, or some people are just super chaotic, right? Maybe they, when they were younger, they had somebody who was overstructured, and so for them to feel safe, they need it to be just chaotic, right? So those are the five insecurity or security drivers, and when people are stuck in either a me or an I-style relationship, if they can help themselves figure out which one of those is driving that so that they stay stuck, they can help to heal themselves so they feel better so they don't need to be stuck there and they can be more interdependent.
And, you know, come to think of it, with the needy narcissism type people, I mean, first, well, what gets me about them, because some of them come off as very charming, and they seem like they're starting to be around. Then all of a sudden you catch on to that shallowness, and you like, no. Now you too need it. Like, back away, and they and they always just want that attention. And, I mean, that's good, but I can't be around people like that. That drains you.
It does drain you. When you're in a situation with a narcissist, you don't even exist. It's all about them. But it's about them in a funny way. Like you said, sometimes you think they're being nice to you, and they're being very, maybe they're being flattery, but it's all about coming back to them, right? And so it's so draining. I agree. It's a super draining style relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I have had friends like that. They'll start talking, and then all of a sudden you turn the conversation back to yourself, and then they like, I thought this was all about me. Well, I thought you was giving me time to share myself up too, and it's like, okay, this is a problem now. And
my,
you know,
my friend has a funny joke about that. She'll say something like, oh, that's nice. Something about, and then, what do you think about me? You know, she immediately would bring it back. It was a big joke about how you always bring it back to yourself, right? That's exactly
right.
What it's like being in a relationship with them.
I remember my teacher when I was in high school, she said, you know, some people will be thinking about themselves. If you tell a person, I love you, and they say, well, me too, they're not talking about you. They're talking about themselves.
That's right.
So how do you make one see it's not all of?
Yeah. So this is a very, very interesting question because, first of all, the person, some people don't know that they're so self-focused. They just, that's what happens. It just comes back to them. They just think about themselves, and that's where they are. So one of the things that I like to do is to use paradigm shifting. And I think about how I use that by sometimes using this picture. And the picture is I draw it on the board, and if you were to look at it from one perspective, so that you're looking to the left, it looks like a duck. But if you look at it from another perspective, so that it's facing right, then it looks like a bunny. And when I show that to people, one of the things that will happen is they'll be like, oh, my gosh, I see it. I see the duck. I see the bunny. And then I talk to them about how, so see, when you see that, if you're in an argument with your partner and you just see duck, 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 and they just see bunny, 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 you'll have a big fight with each other. But if it's the same figure and it's just whether you're looking to the right or left, then you can understand that obviously you're both right and you're both wrong because it depends on which perspective you're looking from. And when I do that with people, it helps them to see, okay, well, maybe I just need to see the other person's perspective. And they start to grow and see how they can make those shifts.
Right. Now, how will integrating mind, body, and spirit enrich our lives?
Oh, that's a great question. So, you know, when I started to work with people, you know, I'm a very faithful person. I come from a strong faith environment. And when we have faith, it's easier to work through things, right? So I started to work from that perspective. And then I started to work in something called Chinese medicine because I'm an acupuncturist as well as a therapist. And what I was taught was that they use these terms Shen and Qi and blood. And Shen is spirit, and Qi is sort of like the mind, and then blood is the body. And so what they would talk about is that if things got off where you have a spiritual disconnect, then you start to think funny things, and then all of a sudden you start to just sit physically. Like you might be having a holding pattern or get blockages in your body. And so what I noticed is that if you integrate spirit, mind, and body, then relationships are better. So that if we align ourselves with our best heart, sense, self, and we try really hard to be compassionate and loving, then we're going to be willing to be mindful because we're going to say, you know, my partner, that hurt what my partner just said, but maybe my partner said that mean thing because my partner doesn't feel good. Or maybe my partner said that mean thing because my partner heard me say something mean that I didn't mean to say. You know what I mean? It's like you start to be open to seeing what might be underneath instead of reacting and defensive. And once you do that, you know, once you start integrating spirit and mind, you start having a much happier relationship, because you start to see the other person as someone who clearly cares about you. So when things aren't working, you just have to solve what isn't working. Remember I spoke earlier about how you kind of get on the same side against the problem instead of against each other.
Okay, right. And it's been told on my show through other healers and everything that we're actually living in this holistic world, and that's all part compressed with the mind, the body, and the spirit.
You're absolutely right. We have the spiritual connection, which is sort of the auric field around you and the universe, and then we have our mind, which has to do with our thinkings, and then we have the body, which is really physical. So this more holistic perspective of spirit, mind, and body really helps us to see the relationship in a dynamic, multi-dimensional way, and it can help us get out of being defensive with each other.
You know, when I think of it, Belle, when we're talking about this in terms of the mind, the body, and the spirit, and we have to put all of these in a circle, we are functioning holistically, but I think about the song Hokey Pokey, when you have to put all your body parts in and you got to shake it all about, and that's why I feel our body is in this circle. And like I said, our mind is in this circle when we have attention as to what we want to do. All of this is in this circle. We're doing the Hokey Pokey.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
I know it might sound funny, but that's actually what we're doing, the actual Hokey Pokey.
It's so cute, right? I love it.
So can the tools you write about in Turning Me to We, the art of partnering with mindfulness, be used in all of our partnerships?
They can be used in all of our partnerships. They can be used in how we parent. They can be used in our relationships with our parents. They can be used at work. Whether we decide we want to build a company with somebody, all that stuff, these tools will really help you.
Okay. And I hope everybody does go and pick up the book, because it is very helpful. What stops people from success or even achieving their goals?
Well, sometimes, you know, we stop ourselves. What happens is that we get fearful and we don't believe in ourselves, or maybe we choose a goal that's too far ahead, like we maybe need to choose one closer so we can see our success and move on. And so usually when we're having difficulty moving forward, we can look back to how well we've chosen the steps to get there and whether or not we're giving ourselves the benefit to make it happen. And so sometimes we need to ask for help. Sometimes we don't have to do it all ourselves. It's all about these mindsets and what are we going to do to help ourselves meet those goals. So when we want to have success, we have to be able to see the reality, also always stay positive and go for the ideal. So both at the same time, and integrating those really help us to be successful.
Right. And sometimes I think we just sabotage ourselves. Dealing with the brain.
Absolutely.
And that's what, as always, I love all my guests, including you too, Belle, because all of you connect somehow, no matter, just like you're talking about something, another guest, it kind of integrates with everything that you're saying. We do. We sabotage ourselves, for instance. We say, I want a new car, but at the same time, you'll say, I can't afford it. And I think that's what a lot of times we do to ourselves, including myself. I will say I want to be a news reporter, and then I guess I sabotage myself by just not even really looking for it, just put my mind up to I'm not going to look for a job today. I'm just going to relax. And we hurt our goals by really maybe fantasizing too much as well.
Right, and we get into habits, don't you think? I mean, I think we get into habits of acting a certain way. Sometimes we don't say, okay, well, I want this thing, so what are the things that I have to change in my life in order to make that thing happen? And I think that we can create anything we want as long as we pay attention to what we're choosing and how we're going to move there.
Okay. Because, you know, they did say on a research that, you know, it's okay to dream about it, about the positive things, about thinking about the future, but can really fantasy can have a disastrous result on us achieving our goals as well?
Yes, if you're too much of a daydreamer. So I think about it this way. If I can't see me getting from here to whatever my dream is, right, if there's a big disconnect, then I'm not going to be able to create it. It's fine to have a dream. That's great. But we have to be able to see how we will create that dream or it won't ever happen. And then we can get lost in the daydreaming and not be doing what is required, right?
Okay. Okay, I do. I understand. I guess it's the same way when you procrastinate for so long, you have your mind set on this big old project, but it can turn out worse if you're procrastinating about it.
Right, right. Although there are some people who seem to do better if they procrastinate. So it's interesting. I've noticed this with some people. They say, oh, I'm going to do that thing, I'm going to do that thing. And then they wait until the very last minute, and then they stay up all night. And they do that actually to give themselves enough energy and focus because they're about to lose it, lose the thing they're trying to create, and then they do a great job. There are some people, I see it a lot with adolescents, who do a lot of procrastination to get enough energy to make that thing happen. But for the most part, procrastination is really a problem because it's a waste of energy.
Right. And I will also say, just input into this also with the ones who always claiming that they want to go on a diet, they want to lose this amount of weight, sometimes you can abandon your brain, as I did my reading, your brain will abandon ship at that first sign of distress because as soon as you're hanging out with your friends, you feel like, oh, okay, I'm hanging out with my girls, my buddies, I can eat snacks, so now you just defeated your purpose. You should have.
It's really true. You're right.
No, you should have been eating healthy, but now you feel, okay, I'm out with them. I can do a little cheat by ordering all these snacks and drinks. And now your brain is telling you, yeah, get this soda, these fries, these buffalo wings. And instead of doing your goal, you just order all that stuff. But, I mean, you can't look back now. You just got to move forward. And I think
that's
what a lot of people, you mess up. Well, and it's all true, like we said, Beth, we sabotage ourselves. We don't even realize it. We do it every day to ourselves.
We really do. And I think that if we can be forgiving to ourselves when we do it, like we say, okay, I did. I messed up right there. However, I'm going to just restart right now. That seems to be the most helpful way to go instead of beating ourselves up because then we go even further down that wrong path by getting down on ourselves. So the more that we can be compassionate and forgiving, say, okay, I messed up, I was with my friends, and I messed up, but now I'm going to restart, we do much better.
Well, I thought of some great little tips that one of my guests passed on to me yesterday, and her name is Karen Beach. She said the one thing to prioritize yourself so you don't sabotage yourself as much is 15 focus, and that's where you focus your 15 minutes on something that you know normally that you won't get done, like such as cleaning your house. Give yourself 15 minutes to clean your house. Once the 15 minutes come up, stop. If you're trying to finish a book, give yourself 15 minutes. Read that book, bam, stop. Because sometimes we do. We get busy and we feel that we don't have enough time. And I think that's why they're now making these workout programs. Do 10 minutes of this. You got 10 minutes out of your day to just do it. And then you're done. You don't have to take a whole hour just to get something done. So those are some great things. And also probably trying to write down your list, right? Make a concrete list of everything that needs to be done. You got to prioritize your tasks. So
you are so right. That's excellent, excellent tips.
Yeah. So Belle, I really enjoy my time with you on the show. Can you tell us where we can get your book, even to maybe even get in contact with you personally?
Oh, that's great. I really enjoyed being with you. Thank you so much for having me on your show. So my book, you can get it from my website at www.bethgineris.com, BethGineris.com. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at BarnesandNobles.com. So pretty much anywhere you can find the book. You can see when you go to my website, there are also little excerpts, and if you go to my website, there is a discount code you can use to get it for $15 instead of $22. So it's kind of a great deal.
Well, again, Beth, I appreciate you for being on the show, and you have a blessed one. I hope we can meet up again and do this.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. You have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, my listeners, I do thank you for making it to my show and tuning in. You've been with me all the way through, so I really appreciate that. Look, life is not... It's not all ice creams and cake all the time. You got to go through a struggle, and it's so much that we have to consider. So the things that we went over today, let's consider a whole lot before you even jump into a marriage. Make sure that you think twice. It's not going to be easy, and I know a lot of people want to be. And for the ones who think that it's still about the single life, it's not. As we said earlier, the eye turns into oh. Again, thank you for tuning in, and I want to see your comments on my Facebook fan page. I had some people who said they wanted to hear more music, so, hey, I will do my best to accommodate that. But once again, I do appreciate you guys so much, and I really hope that you have a blessed day today wherever you are, and I will see you tomorrow. God bless you. And by the way, Heather, I really thank you for tuning in. You always listening, and I really that really means a whole lot for you being here and chatting with me. So God bless you too, Heather.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.